Hey, Misfits, it's me, Jamar. Just want to get on real quick to make a quick announcement and give you a heads up. Number one, during the recording of the show, we've kind of had some areas where the volume kind of drops off and the microphone just kind of doesn't pick up the volume and run as smoothly as it used to. So just want you to ask you to bear with me on that. I still think the show is very useful and you're going to really enjoy it. At least I hope you do. But, you know, we're still kind of new to this thing, so we're still figuring out. But just want to give you a heads up on that. And secondly, we made it into New and Noteworthy, and I'm crazy excited about that. It was one of the big goals of mine. So thank you, everybody, that supported so far, that left ratings and reviews and downloads and subscribe. But let's keep going. Let's get to that number one spot in there, and let's go out and let's change some lives. Let's get everybody talking about money because, as you know, as I always say, we're not good with money because we don't talk about money, and we're all out set to change that. So, again, just give you that quick heads up and that announcement. Thank you listening. I really do appreciate it. And hey, let's just enjoy the show. You've just clicked into the Get Your Money Right podcast. It's a show where not only do we want you to get your money, we want you to get your money right. Today is episode number 4, entitled It's Expensive Being Broke. Let's get it. NPS.
We're talking about money, cash, cash. I said we're talking about money, cash, clarity.
What's the good news, people? Welcome to the Get Your Money Right podcast. I am your host, the Money Misfit, Jamar Dupas. And today is going to be a real interesting conversation. Hopefully, once again, I got a lot of feedback from last week's conversation about whether or not we should have joint account versus separate bank accounts in marriage. And today's topic may be not as juicy, but maybe just as interesting. And we're going to talk about it being expensive being broke. Now, for some of you who've never been broke before, you probably cannot relate. And you probably have never thought about this. We're going to talk about that. And it should be a real good conversation. For those of you who this is your first time listening, I'd like to welcome you and thank you. Thank you for tuning in. This is a show where we talk about really just basically getting your money right, right? I believe that we're not good with money because we don't talk about money. And we don't talk about money from different perspectives. And the advice and information that we do hear about money is usually coming from somebody else, right? Somebody else who don't relate to us. And so that's what this show is all about. We focus on lifestyle. We focus on leaving a legacy. We talk about money management and marriage as a construct or as a basis of the four pillars of how we build our lives, right? And so that's what we want to focus on. So thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want to get more information, you can go over to our website at yourmoneyright.com. That's yourmoneyright.com. There you'll be able to subscribe. You can get on the email list. You can check out the show notes. And if you're looking for, you know, just a little bit of help, you know, don't be afraid to reach out. You know, I think that's one of our biggest problems is we don't talk about money and we don't reach out to each other to ask about the situations. So we end up going through life alone, dealing with something that's so important as money. So with that said, thank you for listening and welcome. We're going to get on into the topic today because I'm pretty excited about this because I have a lot of personal stories to share when it comes to it being expensive being broke, because it truly is expensive being broke. And before we really get into it, I want to make sure that we define what broke is. And when I say broke, I don't mean impoverished, right? I don't mean you have this inability to feed yourself or clothe yourself. What I mean by being broke, and I'll use the Urban Dictionary definition of this, is basically the state of having no or very little money, right? So you could be broke at any income level. It's not about your income, right? If you make $4,000 a week and you spend $4,000 a week, you are broke. If you make $400 a week and you spend $400 a week, you are broke. So broke is not about the amount of money you make or don't make. It's about what you do with that money. It's about what you have left at the end of the day, right? Because being broke is really about living on the edge, you know? It's full of stress and uncertainty. So that's what we're going to talk about. Three things. What does it mean to be broke? Why it's expensive? And then, of course, at the end, as we always do, you get all this information and you have a choice to make. Whether or not you choose to be broke or not. Because, be honest with you, it's a choice. Not for everybody. And I'm not talking about being impoverished. But if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably listening to it on a smartphone or laptop or in your car or on your headphones. And if you're broke, you're broke by choice. That's going to offend some people. It's going to inspire some people. But either way, I hope it moves some people. So let's get on with it. Again, what does it mean to be broke? And just to elaborate on what we've already said, being broke is a mindset, right? Being broke is about living on the edge of your money. It's about having, when you look up at the end of the month, you got more month left than you have money, right? Being broke is about being out of control of the resources that you do have. And how does that relate to it being expensive, right? So we talk about the expensive lifestyles of the rich and the famous, but being broke is more expensive. Let me give you some examples, right? Those of you who've listened to all the episodes, you go back to the intro episode, episode 00, when I kind of talk a little bit about my backstory, right? And for those of you who haven't heard that, this is your first time listening to the show, let me say and put this disclaimer out now that I'm not a financial advisor. I do not work in the financial industry. I am not certified. I am not governed by any government bodies or anything like that. I'm just a regular dude with a semi-regular job that lives, I would have called an average or maybe even above average lifestyle on what I make on an average income. Right. But what drove me to even being able to talk about money was being fed up, right? Being tired of being sick and tired about money and living the expensive lifestyle of being broke. So what do I mean by that? Right. I remember I was so broke that I could not keep a bank account. And I know you like, what? How do you do that? How does that happen? Well, I used to live on the edge so much. I remember I had a bank account with a certain bank, and I'm not going to mention their name, that it required me to keep a minimum in the account in order for me to have the account open and not be charged fees. And I think it was something like $10 a month or $8 a month or whatever for these fees. Now, I've already been through the rigmarole. And it was probably, if my memory is correct, it was probably one of these second chance banks, bank accounts anyway, right? My credit was pretty terrible. You know, I wasn't making a whole lot of money. But anyway, so I remember something pretty bad happened to me. Well, I needed to clear out all the money in my account to pay for something, right? But because I was living on edge, it took all of my money. But in order for me to have this bank account, I was supposed to have like a minimum of like $10 in it. And I couldn't even keep $10 in this account. So what happened? I took all the money out, and then the bank decides that since I don't have the minimum, they're going to charge me money, right? It was so bad that I couldn't keep the minimum of $10 or $5 or what it was, whatever it was in the bank, to keep my account open. And what happened is these fees started piling on top of each other and on top of each other. And it was a really dark time where I just felt like I just couldn't catch up, right? I just couldn't fall. I just kept falling further and further behind to the point to where there was so much negative balance in the account. I was like, man, I can't pay for that. I'm not going to pay for that. I don't even know how I'm going to be able to pay for that. And that started me down a road that became more and more and more and more expensive. So what do I mean by that? Well, eventually, I couldn't pay. They closed the account. When they closed the account, I didn't have anywhere to deposit my paychecks for the job where I was working at, right? So, and then I had to turn around and try to find another bank account. Well, because I owed this bank money, no other bank would give me an account, right? So I could not get a checking account anywhere. So what did I have to do? This is why you see check cashing places in the hood, right? Because I had to take my check and go get it cashed. Now, at the time, I believe it was costing me anywhere from 3 to 5% just to cash my my checking account, which was a lot when you're not making a lot, right? 3 to 5%, and I think there was a minimum fee of several so many dollars if your check wasn't big enough. But anyway, so I had to go stand in line every Friday, wasting all that time to sit in line to get my check cashed, which was really expensive because, let's face it, it's my money, but they were winning, right? They were winning because I had to pay them just to get my money out of that check. And then you add on top of that the fact that it was costing me time, which time is money, right, to sit in these lines to get this check cashed, right? And so that got frustrating trying to handle cash and money and still go be able to pay my bills because some of my bills I was paying, I couldn't pay with cash. I had to go get checks. Well, I couldn't afford to get checks because, well, not that I couldn't afford it, but I couldn't get checks because I didn't have a checking account, right? So what did I have to go do? I had to go get money orders, right? Because everybody's like, we don't trust you. You need to come up with a money order or a cashier's check or something like that. Money orders would cost me, you know, a few dollars on top of that. So not only am I out of time, I'm out of money on top of what I was already making, not to even mention what the government was taxing me for. But I had somebody charged me just to get my money out, and I was charged on top just to pay somebody else more money. So when I had to go get these, let's say I had to pay a light bill, right, and had to go get the money order, right, and that was $5 or whatever the fee was. Then I had to go up to the grocery store or mail in the money order, but I was always late, right, because I was living on the edge. I was broke, so I probably didn't even have any time to mail it in, so I had to go up to the local grocery store to do the little payment processing, and they would charge me these convenience fees and all this other stuff. So I was getting feed to death when I was broke. And then it got to the point to where some places wouldn't even take checks, so I had to get these little kind of like the Rush card deal. Y'all have seen those Rush cards. You see them advertised on BET. It's a Russell Simmons kind of like a little check card where you can load up your check onto these cards and you can use it like a debit card. The problem with those is they would charge you per transaction. So every time I swiped it, it was like a dollar, right? Or I had to pay like a monthly fee in order to do like so many transactions for free. Now, I already wasn't making much money. I wasn't making pretty much any money. So I got my paycheck. The government took its out. Then in order to get my money out of the paycheck, I had to go to the check cashing place. In order to pay my bills, I had to pay them convenient fees and also had to pay for money orders. And then to get my money onto an electronic source where I can, you know, be modern and pay for things online and use my debit card and not walk around with a bunch of cash, it cost me even more then. That adds up. Especially when you're not making a lot of money. When you're only making $200 a week, $300 a week, that adds up so fast. Now, what else? Why else is it more expensive being broke? Well, on top of that, you can never get ahead, right? Or it's difficult to get ahead, right? So when you have things like your cars and your homes or your apartment and you're paying insurance, I don't know if many of you know this, but it costs you extra money to pay your insurance on a monthly basis. They charge you an extra fee to do that. So there's another fee on top of that, right? Healthcare cost. Didn't have insurance. Nowadays, you got to have insurance or it gets really expensive because not only that is they'll take your income tax return from you if you don't get on that Obamacare and get yourself taken care of. But back then, I didn't have insurance. They didn't require it, but if something were to happen to me, I had to come out of pocket to do it, or I just had to tough it out. I got a broken leg. Well, you better walk it off. Put some ice on it, right? That's how I was growing up anyway. We never go to no ER. Nowadays, people go to ER for everything, but I remember growing up, everything had to get iced, right? But that's how it was. But healthcare is so important, and you don't realize how important it is until you run out of it, until you need it, right? If you didn't know this, healthcare is the number one reason for people filing bankruptcy in America, right? Because healthcare is super expensive. And if you don't have insurance, and even if you do have insurance, some of that has changed now with Obamacare and things like that, that, you know, you got these out-of-pocket maximums and they have to, but there's still these procedures that they can refuse to do, right? You got to go the alternative route. And sometimes the insurance companies won't cover that. And if you want to get healthy, you got to do what you got to do, right? So healthcare can be super expensive when you're broke. Here's the other reason. Because some of you do have jobs, right? But then you get the cheapest monthly premium that you can afford, not looking at whether or not it's going to give you the coverage that you need. And that's expensive. You save a penny, you lose a dollar, right? I think, I can't remember who said it, but it was something like being a penny smart but dollar dumb, right? You save a penny, but it costs you a dollar. That's what being broke is all about, because you're forced into these shortcuts. And when you're forced into these shortcuts, it just, your money costs you more and more and more. You do things like rent furniture, or you get your TV on payments, right? Or let's say, for instance, you need a new car. And usually when you're broke, it's because of some bad habits you've had, right? And typically those that are broke have poor credit scores. So because you don't have a very good credit score, you got to go down to that loan here, buy here car dealership, right? And you get this car that's worth $8,000, and you pay $17,000 for it, and you pay a 21% interest rate for 6 years. But you got the payments that you wanted for $475, right? Now, your car may not last 6 years, but hey, you got in that car. It's expensive being broke. When you're broke, you can't buy food in bulk, right? So you buy food whenever you can. You go the cheap route. I'm going to go to McDonald's real quick and get this 99 cent cheeseburger. I don't really know if they're still 99. I doubt they're even 99 cents anymore. When I was coming up, there's not. But I haven't been to McDonald's to buy a 99 cent cheeseburger in so long. But when you're broke, you got to do that, right? You can't. I remember when we were growing up in our neighborhood, way back in the day, there was no grocery stores nearby, no good ones. So we ate at the corner store, right? I remember getting $5, going straight to the corner store, buy me a bag of chips and a soda and maybe a little bag of candy, and it was all gone. My $5 was gone. And it's just what it was. That's what you did, right? Because we didn't know any better. We didn't have any other options. But being broke doesn't allow you to see past your current situation, right? That's why it's very difficult getting out of it. Being broke is a trap, right? Because once it starts going down that road, it's really difficult to get out of it. And I know I'm real, being real personal, I'm probably giving too much information. But I remember another time where I had got a ticket, right? And I needed to go to court to contest the ticket. They said I was speeding. I wasn't the one speeding, but hey, they got me, right? But I need to go to court to contest it because I was trying to get this thing dismissed. Now, I was working at a couple of jobs at the time, but I was so broke that I couldn't afford to take off, right? I was in a situation where my boss kind of had me by the throat. I was just kind of, you know, that slave to the wage type thing. So I tried to reschedule, and actually did. I rescheduled my appearance at the court several times, but in the end up, I couldn't reschedule anymore, and I didn't show up. And I don't know if you noticed, but if you don't show up to your court date, they put out a warrant for your arrest. And that is no good, right? But to pile it on top of that was I hit another rough patch. And because of the warrants and stuff like that, I had gotten my license suspended. And I couldn't get a registration on my car because I need to fix my car because it couldn't pass the inspection. Right. So here I am. I got warned off of my arrest. I got a car that's not registered. It didn't pass inspection, but I still got to get to work, right? I still got to make my money. Well, that was okay for a while. I was riding dirty for a while. It was all good. I got used to being nervous, right? When I was driving, you know, you see them lights that hit in your rearview mirror and your heart start beating out your chest. That was me, right? And I got used to it, right? But then one day it all just kind of rolled on me. I mean, it just came pouring down. I got pulled over twice in the same day on the same route. And guess what I got tickets for? Basically all the above. Now, none of them actually took me to jail for my warrants. They just gave me tickets for, you know, not having registration, having expended license, you know, not having an inspection sticker. Now, if I would have had enough money in the beginning to just pay a cheap lawyer to go up there and get my case dismissed, or even if I just had enough money just to pay the dang on ticket, none of that stuff would have happened, right? That couple hundred dollar problem ended up costing me thousands of dollars and time and headache and stress in the end. I remember there's one time I had a tire blowout, right? And I was too cheap to and too broke to go get brand new tires. So I would just go up to the local SA and get me, you know, a used tire, throw it on there for $15, $20, and I was good to go. Or those times where you throw that fixer flat in your car and you just roll on that fixer flat until it gets flat again. I've been there, done that. But this one time I get this used tire, and I knew this tire, it looks bad, but hey, this is the money I got right now. It'll get me from point A to point B. But one day I was driving down the street and that tire completely blew out. My car swerved and I bent my rim on the curb. So not only did my broke ways and habits cost me the tire, but now I got to get a new rim. Now, if I would have just got that new tire, that was going to be like, I think it was like $50, $60. I was riding on some 13 inches, some 12 inches or something. It wasn't nothing, you know, it wasn't no low profiles or nothing like that. It was just some regular tires, right? But because I didn't come up with the $50 or $60 or whatever it was to replace that tire, it was cheap back then. It ended up costing me several hundred dollars later on. And that's what I mean by it's expensive being broke. And being broke just don't cost you money. It costs you time. It costs you stress. And probably the most expensive thing it costs you is opportunity. When you don't have that room, that margin, when you're living check to check, when opportunities present themselves, you can't capitalize on them, right? Because you have no money, right? If you do see a sale, you can't jump on it. You got bills to pay, and you're hoping that you timed your paycheck and your bills just right, because you don't want to pay any late fees. And how many times have you had to do that, right? The biggest cost is opportunity. And like I said earlier, is when you are living check to check, when you are broke in that mindset, you have no space in your mind, in your head, to think about the long term. There's no space in your head to think about your next career move, which is the reason why we often feel like we're repeating our old mistakes. This is why 5 years ago is repeating itself today. This is why we feel like we cannot get ahead, right? It's like, man, I got a raise probably several times in the last several years, but for some reason, I just feel like I can't get ahead. And that's because we're so busy paying bills, we don't sit down and think about the overall game plan. What's our next move? How do we get ourselves to the next level at our jobs? Or how do we change careers altogether? What training do I need to get? What courses do I need to take for me to start that business? What do I need to do? What skills do I need to gather for me to move next? How do I become recession-proof? How do I make sure I'm the last person cut when layoffs? How do I become indispensable and protect my family with my skill set? We don't think about that because we don't have enough time in our head. A lot of people talk about investing for money, but there's a couple other things that I think you should invest for. You should invest for time. You should invest for clarity of thought. And what do I mean by that? invest in clearing up your schedules so you can have some time to think about what you want to do. So you can have some time to think about what your next move will be. That is some of the most important things you can do. This is why the rich get richer and the poor get poor. When you're poor and when you're broke, we have no time to think about the future. It's about now. It's about survival. And that becomes a habit no matter how much we make. Because every last one of us has made more money today than we made when we were 16 years old. But for some reason, we have the same results. There's no money left at the end of the month. We fall victim to lifestyle creep. Make a little bit more money, we spend a little bit more. We try to get on our parents' level before it's our time, not realizing it took them forever to get to where you're seeing it is today. So how do you know if you're broke? Well, if any of this sounds familiar, then you're broke. If you're living check to check, I don't care how much you make, $60,000, $160,000, $600,000, if you're waiting on that next check, you're broke. You're living on the edge. If you don't have any cash set aside to handle the ebbs and flows of life, you're playing with fire. Because let me tell you, I get the privilege of working in the fire department. And in Houston, we're what you call an all-hazard fire department. It means we respond to everything. You have a raccoon in your attic, people will call for it, and we will respond. Now, let me say this. We may not do nothing about this raccoon in your attic, but we'll show up, right? But 80% of the calls that we run in this city, and we get over 1,000 calls per day, 80% of the calls that we make are for medical issues, okay? Again, I talked about how medical bills are the number one cause of bankruptcy for middle America here in this country. Understand that you are one job loss, one medical emergency, one bad accident, and even some of you, one tire blowout away from falling into that trap, into that spiral that being broke can get you down. Today, you may be uncomfortably comfortable, but it's not where you want to stay. It's not a good place. One little thing can have you being that guy on the side of the road begging for money. Now, if you listen to this, I doubt that's going to happen to you. But you know some people who live on the edge day in and day out. But, you know, to give them credit, they're survivors, right? I've been there before. Maybe you've been there before. But it's expensive being broke. You can save a whole lot of money when you got money. And as I was alluding to earlier, that's why the richer get richer, because they have a little bit of money to take advantage of the opportunities. More people, more new millionaires are made during recessions than good times. Why is that? Because they understand that after every feast, there's a famine. The good book tells us this. And if you're in your feast time right now, understand that famine is coming. So prepare for it, right? You cannot cry in the spring if you did not plant in the fall. Think about that for a minute. Think about what you're doing with all your seed right now. If you're eating it all, I'm telling you, it's going to cost you. It's real expensive being broke. So what can you do about it, right? If you are in that situation where you're living check to check, where you don't really see much room, you don't have much air, much margin in your life, right? What should you be focusing on right now? What should you be investing in? And this brings us when I was talking about at the end, you'll have a decision because you can choose, right? If you're in that situation where you're broke, you can choose. And now is your chance to choose. What can you do? What will you do? If you are living check to check, if you're dependent on that very next paycheck to pay for everything, if you're floating by on credit cards, here's what you can do. Change your focus. Change your mind. Your next goal in life, in my opinion, is to not invest in the stock market, is to not go to the store and play the lottery, which I know gets tempting sometimes. But your next financial goal may just be to stop living check to check and prepare and protect yourself from catastrophic episodes, major life-changing events. And how do you do that? There's one principle that every wealthy person I've ever met, they practice. And that is, they pay themselves first. I know what you're thinking, like, how in the heck I'm going to pay myself first when I owe all these other people money? I don't know, but you got to find a way. You've got to find a way to pay yourself first. You've got to find a way to give yourself some grace. You work $8, $9, $10 a day, and you can't work for yourself for 1 hour, right? If you make $10 an hour, save $10 every day you go to work. If you make $20 an hour, $20 every day you go to work. Don't you think you deserve at least 1 hour out of your day to go for you? And not for you to just to spend money however you want and buy those shoes, that retail therapy, but for your future self, right? To give yourself some room, to get some of that stress off of you, to probably even extend your life expectancy, right? Because we all know what stress does to the heart. Just think about that for a minute. Start putting aside just a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more. Pay yourself first. Cut out those things that don't build you up. Cut out those things that aren't going towards your dreams and your aspirations. And I'm not saying that you need to be frugal for the fact of being frugal. It's not about being frugal. I will tell you first and foremost, I am not all for that being frugal and being cheap for the fact of being cheap, right? But if it feeds your purpose, if it feeds your higher calling, do whatever it takes, because that's what it takes, right? Get yourself out of that paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. Put a little money to the side for contingencies. Some people call it an emergency fund. I don't like calling it emergency fund because, you know, I don't like emergencies, right? And look, emergencies are going to happen, right? So stop calling emergencies. Just know that it's going to happen. Know that your tire is going to blow out, right? Know that pipe in your house may go leaky, right? These shouldn't be surprises to us, right? These things will happen. Prepare for them, right? I like to call it a contingency fund. That same article that I found on Investopedia that talked about the medical expenses, well, they named the top five reasons for bankruptcy. Number two is job loss. Number three is poor or excessive use of credit. Number four is divorce or separation. And the fifth one was unexpected expenses, right? So, hey, now you know. What you want to do next is get to the point where you can live off of last month's income, right? Where you get a paycheck and it just sits there. Think about how that'll feel. You get paid this week and you don't need it for another several weeks. Could you imagine just not even realizing you got paid? That's a sweet place to be. It is a sweet place to be. Let me tell you, it's a sweet, sweet place to be. And fellas, if your wife is stressed out, let me tell you something. If you can get to the point where you don't need your money right away, you're not riding that emotional curb of hoping that your paycheck lands in the account before that mortgage is due, you lighten her load. You lighten her stress so much. And guess what a woman with a little stress will do for you? A whole lot, okay? A whole lot. Women produce miracles. They wake up miracles, right? They birth miracles, right? Give them an environment to flourish. She will blow your mind. Just a little side tip there for the fellas there, from the Married Brothers. But anyway, that's my call out to you today. That's your next focus. Now, I could go on and talk about, you know, things like insurances, especially like disability insurance and life insurance, because, you know, these things are real. But that's probably for another show. Right? If you're living check to check, if you feel like you're broke, if you feel like you can never get ahead, pay yourself first. Take 1 hour out of your day. If you can't do that right now, take 1 hour out of your week, out of the 40 hours you work a week, take 1 hour for yourself, for your peace of mind, for your future, for your family. Start with something, but start, right? Because it's expensive being broke. When I can tell you can save a whole lot of money when you got a little capital, when you got a little cash, right? You can think. Your mind has some clarity. You can work on your credit score, right? You can call your insurance company and you can work out a deal. You know, they'll save 10, 15, 20% off of your insurance policies if you just pay yearly or biannually. That's some savings, right? And when you get in the habit of doing that, you can get more money out of your paycheck because you're not worried about the government taking out too much and hoping that you get a real big income tax return. So you, now you can take that interest-free loan that you're giving the government and bring that in your house every paycheck, right? You can free up some cash flow, all right? Because that's the thing that really matters anyway, how much money you got coming in every month and versus your expenses. When you have cash, when you got a little bit of money, you can go bulk shop and save a lot more money on your groceries, all right? Or just eat better, eat healthier, eat nicer food. There are so many benefits to not being broke. And when that business opportunity comes your way, you have a little bit of capital aside, and you got a little bit of sense, and you got a little clarity of thought, you can really think about it, and you can act on it, not out of desperation, not because somebody sold you or somebody got you all excited and hoopla and you made the decision to do it, but because you've got some clarity and you got some peace. That's the reason to do it. And that's why being broke is expensive. So that's it for today. Hope it wasn't too grim. But I hope that I moved you. And I hope that gave you enough to think about, right? Because if we don't get our money right, somebody else will get our money, right? So let's get it. If you like the show, share it. If you think somebody will benefit from it, let them know. Let me know. Hit me up. I'm on Twitter, Facebook. Let's do this. If you have a story of how being broke was expensive, I'd love to hear about it. Let's talk about it. Let's go to Facebook. Let's go to Twitter. Let's go to Instagram. Hashtag expensive being broke, right? Tell me your stories. Tell me of a time in your life where being broke has cost you a ton of money, right? I want to compile these things together and share this with everybody so other people out there can see that they're not alone, that people can see that other people has gone through it and they've gone all the way through it, right? So let me know. Hashtag expensive being broke on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Let's talk about it because I truly believe we're not good with money because we don't talk about money. It's time to change that. Don't forget to leave a rating and review on iTunes. I can't believe I forgot to mention this, but we broke into the new and noteworthy section with the last episode. Let's keep it going. Everybody, share this thing. Let's change some lives. Let's talk about money like it's everybody's business. Thank you again for listening, and God bless. Said we're talking about